So let's review. The Gemara completes the Perek with the topic of Mashkin, collateral, and says that if one took a Mashkin unlawfully without witnesses and then returns it, he can then collect the loan up to the value of the Mashkin and does not need to prove the outstanding debt, provided that the Mashkin is lav midi de avdi l'shuli l'guri, an item that is generally not lent or rented out. Therefore, as Rashi explains, he could have claimed that he bought it. However, midi de avdi l'shuli l'guri, an item that is generally lent or rented out, tzavach l'mekim medina ala, because enu yochel litin l'kuchen him b'yadi, he could not have claimed that he bought it. Hanulach perek ha-makabal sadeh mechavei, we have Baruch Hashem completed the 9th perek of Masechta Bava Metzia, and we will now begin the 10th perek ha-bayis v'aliyah be'ezes Hashem. Zok the Mishnah, ha-bayis v'aliyah shel shnayim shenaflu. If one person owns the ground floor of a house, a second person owns the second floor, and the house collapsed. Shneim cholkin be'etzim uvavanim uva'ofer. They divide the wood, stones, and earth proportionally, according to the relative heights of their section of the walls. V'royin elu avanim ha'asuyis lishtaber. If some of the stones are broken and they both claim the unbroken stones, we determine how the house collapsed, as the Gemara explains. If the house fell sideward, we can assume the stones of the upper story broke, since they fell from a greater height. If the house fell in its place, it is clear that the foundation collapsed and the broken stones belong to the lower story. The Gemara points out, the Mishnah clearly states that it is possible to determine how the house fell. Therefore, Reisha de Nafal Belelia Ufaninu Bnei Rishus Rabim VaAzlu Lal Alma. The first case in the Mishnah, which says to divide the stones proportionally, is discussing where the house fell during the night. Strangers then cleared away the stones by daybreak and left before we could question them, so we cannot determine how the house fell. However, the Gemara asks, V'lechzi Bishus Deman Yasman V'lava Idach HaMaitzim Mechaber Olavaraya. Let us leave them in the possession of the owner of the present location of the stones and place the burden of proof on the other owner. The Gemara offers three scenarios. The Yasvin b'chotzer de Tavayu, the stones are dispersed equally on both of their properties. B'shus Arabim, the stones fell into a public area. Shutvin b'chihai gavna l'kapten adadi, partners allow each other to keep their belongings on their property, and so it is effectively in both of their possession. The Mishnah concludes, if one of the owners recognizes some of the unbroken stones as his own, he takes them and they count towards his portion of the stones, as the Gemara will explain. The Gemara points out, if the other fellow admits that the unbroken stones do not belong to him, obviously the other owner may keep them. If he disputes their ownership, why does the claimant get the stones? The Gemara answers, the Mishnah discusses where the other fellow does not know which stones are his. Therefore, the first fellow keeps them, either because a defendant who is uncertain whether a claim is correct is obligated to pay, alternately because he is admitting that the claimant owned some of the unbroken stones, therefore he is obligated to swear regarding the rest, and so since he cannot swear because he doesn't know who owns the rest of the stones, the claimant keeps all the stones he recognizes. The Gemara now explains Oilus Leiman HaChesben, how the claimed stones count towards his total. Rabbi suggested, Lefi Cheshben Shavuris, he takes the unbroken stones he recognizes, and the other fellow takes an equal number of broken stones. They then divide the rest equally because Kimadam and the Yedeya, Reyat Fei, the one who cannot identify any stones has a weaker claim to the stones. However, Abaya argued Adarabba, Harei Tfei, the one who does identify some stones has a weaker claim regarding the rest, because Midahani Yada Tfei Lo Yada Su Lesle V'idach Kula Deheichninu. Since he could not identify the remaining unbroken stones, it is more likely that they are not his. Therefore, Abaya explained Lefi Cheshbin Shleimais, the other fellow takes an equal number of unbroken stones. Nevertheless, the claimant desires these particular items, lemal b'neravcha, since they are wider, more useful bricks. Alternately, tina d'me'avda, they are of better quality. Zok the Mishnah, habayis v'aliyah. If someone owns a house, lives in the ground floor, and rents out the second floor, nifchas aliyah v'ein bal habayis reitz l'sakin, if the second floor collapses, and the landlord does not want to rebuild it, hari bal haliyah yerid v'der l'mata atche sakin leis aliyah. The tenant may live in the ground floor until the landlord repairs the second floor. The Gemara explains, If the landlord said, Aliyazu, I am renting to you this second floor, Azda. Since it's no longer livable, their contract expired. If he said, Aliyastam, I'm renting to a second floor, Legulayachrita, he can give him another place and he's not obligated to let him live downstairs. If he said, Aliyazu, Sha'ani Maskulach, Kisalka, Solik Bahada, Vachinaches Chavis Bahada. I'm renting to you this second floor, and if it falls, you're entitled to the ground floor. He obviously may move downstairs. Rather, our Mishnah discusses where he said, Aliyazu sha'al gabe bayezeh ani maskeloch. I am renting to you the second story of this house. Shabbat bayez la'aliyah. He mentioned the house to obligate himself to provide a second floor as long as the house itself stands, or to use the lower floor in the interim. The Gemara cites machlekes in how extensive the damage must be in order to grant the tenant this right. Rav Amar Beruba, he can only move downstairs if most of his floor collapsed. However, Ba'arba Lai, if only a small area of Fort Fachem fell, he's not entitled to move downstairs because Adam Dar Chetzi Lamata VeChetzi Lamala. It is normal to live on two stories and he can simply use a section of the ground level to replace the unusable area. However, Shmuel Amar Ba'arba, even if an area of only four tefachim collapsed, he can move downstairs because ein adam dar chetzi lamata b'chetzi lamala. It's not normal to live on two stories, and he's entitled to have all his space on one story. The Gemara inquires, kishu dar levada hu dar k'demikara? Is he entitled to live downstairs alone in the manner he was used to upstairs, and the landlord must move out? Or shneim darin damalei adaita lafkina loy agilach? Can the landlord stay as well, because he certainly did not intend to relinquish his right to his own home? Assuming the landlord may stay, the Gemara inquires further. Kishu mishtamish derech gagin mishtamish k'demikara? Must the tenant continue to climb to the upper story as he had done until now, and from there descend into the ground floor? Or derech pesachim mishtamish, may the tenant enter through the regular entrance downstairs because he can claim, aliyah kabili alai, aliyah v'yaridah kabili alai. Until now, I climbed to my entrance, but I'm not accustomed to ascend and then descend. Assuming he can use this argument, the Gemara inquires further. Shtei aliyah zu agav zu. If the building had three stories, ifres aliyayna noches v'dar petach toina. If the uppermost story collapsed, obviously he can use the second story and does not get the use of the ground floor because it's more accessible than what he was accustomed to using. However, ifres tach toina. If the floor of the second story collapsed, it's a question. May the landlord give the tenant the uppermost story because he rented an upper story and anyways needs to climb to enter? Or he's only used to climbing one story, not two, and so the landlord must allow the tenant to live on the ground floor. The Gemara says, leaving these questions unresolved.